Today on Wings, protests in Australia against Invasion Day.
This is our land. It's always been our land. It will always be our land. We have thousands and thousands and thousands of generations of our people born and died peacefully on our land before the white virus came.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Australia has only 7 national official holidays. January 26 commemorates the day 11 British ships landed to establish their first penal colony on the continent in 1788. The date was originally celebrated by convicts drinking to their liberation, but from 1930 to 1935, a white men's mutual society known as the Australian Natives Association promoted it in every state as Australia Day. It became a fixed federal holiday in 1994. On January 26, 2018, a record number of people, Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal, marched against Australia Day, or as Aboriginal people have long called it, Invasion Day. Today on Wings, you'll hear coverage from Melbourne, including voices from the rally and interviews with organizers, recorded by Giselle Hanna for the program's Accent of Women and Women on the Line.
We're looking today at the campaign to abolish Australia Day, and I had a chance to speak to a couple of the organisers of the Melbourne rally from the Warriors of the Aboriginal Resistance.
Mriki Kalinya, Ganai Gundijmara.
Tanine Onus-Williams, Yiga Gundijmara and Bindul. I think that it was a really deadly day. It was really good to see all the mob out. You know, we had mob come from regional areas, which was really deadly. It was just really good to see so much of our mob getting together to fight Australia Day.
Yeah, it was a hot day. We were really well organised, well, in comparison to other years. And, yeah, we had a lot of blackfellas come out. We had a lot of non-blackfellas come out, and we had a lot of support from different organisations. We had a lot of media there and a lot of police. At the threat of a counter-protest from some white supremacists. But that didn't happen, and it ended up being a really good day, and I think we got the message out there that, you know, we're not okay with the continued genocide of Australia and people celebrating that.
60,000 people. You outnumbered the Australia Day parade 50 to 1.
So cool.
And, of course, the argument is out there that this is the building of the momentum around either the change the date or abolish the date campaign. What are your thoughts on either of those demands?
I think that yesterday we definitely did march for abolish the date. That's one of the strong messages that we really wanted to put across as organisers. We don't want to celebrate Australia on another day. The genocide and the colonisation that's taken place and that still continues in this country. Like, why do you deserve to celebrate? You know, we've got 10-year-olds suiciding in our country. You know, we've got the highest incarceration rates, like especially in WA and Northern Territory, where Aboriginal people make up 90% of the population. Like, I don't think that's anything to celebrate. It's pretty disgusting about what's currently happening in this country. So I really don't want to change the date. I just want it to be abolished completely because there's nothing to celebrate.
To me, change the date is reminiscent of a national apology that Kevin Rudd did to stolen generations of our community. And it's just feel-good politics. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't change anything. When we've got extreme poverty and incarceration rates and our children are getting taken away at the highest rates in the world, some of the highest rates in the world, I think change of date is just surface-level gaslighting, and it's incredibly gaslighting. I feel like that's just media saying, well, what date do you want it on? And then is that how that campaign was born? And then we were forced to have that conversation. I don't care what date it's on. I'll protest every Australia Day on any date. Because I bet you there was a massacre on every single day of the calendar. And so that isn't enough for me to protest. Australia doesn't have anything to be proud of. It's got a disgusting history. Let's celebrate the day that our sovereignty is recognised. Let's celebrate the day every prison is closed. And I think Australian nationalism is really dangerous. Not only it is to us, but to everybody. It's dangerous for refugees across the world. As a human being, I think Australian nationalism, regardless of who you are, is dangerous across this planet. So it's important for everybody to abolish Australia Day, not just Aboriginal people.
Well, in many respects, those hashtags, abolish Australia Day or change the date, conceal the politics behind those demands. And you've mentioned a few of them. You've talked about genocide. You've talked about the increasing rates of incarceration of Aboriginal people, particularly Aboriginal women. You've talked about the theft of Aboriginal children from their homes. I mean, can we put any more pressure on Aboriginal women stealing their children, incarcerating them?
Yeah, well, Aboriginal women are 34 times more likely to also be murdered by family violence assault than our non-Indigenous sisters. It's the only statistics we're really winning in. Our infant mortality rates, yeah. Land destruction. Across the board, Australia has never shown any goodwill to coexist with us. We're coming off 230-odd years of systematic genocide, and it's continuing. Why do we want to be entertained by this? So why wouldn't we want it to burn to the ground?
You talked about Australia burning to the ground, and of course the media's become preoccupied with those statements that Tani New made from the platform at the rally. And Marika, you also talked about the gaslighting. I guess you could interpret what the media is doing to you, Tarnine, as gaslighting, because that is pretty much all they've picked up on out of all of the things that you said. And you were the chair of that thing, starting from 11 o'clock till 2 o'clock when the rally finished. You were on the microphone, and it's almost like you said nothing but Australia should burn to the ground.
Mm. Yeah, especially like in the morning of Invasion Day, like I was in the shower, I was just crying. I was like, I don't even want to show up to face people on the sidelines waving their Australian flags walking down Swanston Street. So I, you know, I was really angry. And, you know, of course I meant it in a metaphorical way. I don't know how logistically you'd burn a whole country to the ground. So it's kind of just like, media, like, what is wrong with you? You're pretty stupid to think that me burning my own country to the ground, the one that I'm protesting on the street for, like, how stupid, like, I love my country and I'm out here fighting for it, you know what I mean? Like, I just can't believe, you know, they've attacked my workplace and any other organisation that I'm associated with. So it's pretty disgusting what the media have done in terms of, you know, just putting that on every single national television channel. It is disgusting and, you know, we've had so many incredible Aboriginal people there speaking on the day, and it was just that one bit which they were just so desperate to pick up because they just wanted an F-bomb to show the angry Aboriginal, you know. So it is really disgusting what they're doing. They're just watering down our message again, and they think that we're out there for hate. No, we're out there for love. We're out there because we love our mob so much. We're out there because we don't want our mob to die. We're out there because we don't want our mob to be locked up. We're out there because we don't want our kids being taken away and stolen. You know, there's more Aboriginal kids in out-of-home care than there was in the stolen generation. So, you know, for people to think we're just out there for anger, it's not. We're literally out there because we love our people so much. We just want them to stop dying. You see old articles, like especially from, you know, like the US and how they used the media back then for African American people, and it is the same thing. Like they'll just use what they want to try and build up something around people.
We've got one of the legendary black women here with us today, all the way from Sydney, Aunty Jenny Munro.
Thank you, everybody. I'm too old to even try and climb on this truck anymore, so I'll stay on the ground, firmly embedded in the ground and the culture that we all believe in. I think of all the communities and all the struggles and the battles we lead across this country, you mob rock. Black and white. You are a demonstration to this country of how it's supposed to be. Our people know what the history is. We know what the situation is for our mob.
We have our leaders. We chose them a long time ago. They were born. They weren't created by this vile, racist system that makes its money out of turning us against each other, creating division in the community, when all that we have ever sought is unity and one voice for our mob to tell this government, this country, we've told them many times, but one more, we'll get the band back together, as they said in the Blues Brothers. This is our land. It's always been our land. It will always be our land. We have thousands and thousands and thousands of generations of our people born and died peacefully on our land before the white virus came. And it is a virus, and it was and is as insidious as the chicken pox they introduced to us here. It will kill you if you let it. The virus is called racism. The virus is a sickness that makes people think they're better than other people by virtue of money, stolen wealth, stolen gain. We all stand the same way, we all sit the same way, we all shite the same way. Nothing different about us. Our difference is our place and our time. This is our place. And this is our time. We've seen the governments of many persuasions, whether they be Labor or Liberal, sell us out and do it in the most cruel fashion they can imagine. Now I'm here with a young woman that got grown up in the movement like I did, my children did more so than me, and she's called Lydia. And she's taken a new direction for our mob. You want to trust in a political party, at least trust one that hasn't stabbed you in the back before. So let's all have a go at creating a new political voice on this landscape and let our people come to the forefront of that voice. We'll be the Black Greens, I don't care, whatever you want to call us. We are the owners of this land. We are the caretakers of this land. We are the custodians of all you survey here, the magic, the secret, sacred sites. All of it belongs to us. You can have a part in it. You can play your role, but don't come here and tell us you know more than us or better than us, especially about this place. Especially here. This country is steeped in blood, our people's blood. It's time to clean the wound, and that means cleaning out the viruses that keep reinfecting us, whether you call them politicians, I don't care. To me, they're traitors to a cause that is just and true. Our land, our people, our lives mean something. For you people to come out here and the numbers you have today, you justify. You are the reason that gives us voice into the tomorrows. Your support. You have the battle. We know where we're going. We know what we're doing. The battle is in white Australia. And whether they will keep being deniers of the truth or they will eventually come to learn, the only way you can stand on your own two feet and be proud is to embrace the truth and not deny history. Learn from the mistakes of history, and then we can go on and build a land we can truly call our home for all of us.
That was Aunty Jenny Munro, one of the founders of the Aboriginal Tent Embassy in Redfern, Sydney.
On Wings, you're listening to coverage of protests held in Melbourne on January 26, 2018, against the national holiday Australia Day, or as Aboriginal people named it in 1984, Invasion Day. The audio was recorded by Giselle Hanna for two programs in 3CR Community Radio, Accent of Women and Women on the Line.
Now, I want to acknowledge one of my deadly sisters about to come up here. Her name's Ruby. And she, let me tell you, she's the smartest person that I've ever met in my entire life. Smartest woman you're ever going to meet. Here she is. Come up here, baby. Come on. Thank you. First off, I would like to pay my respects and acknowledge that we are on stolen country. I would like to also extend that acknowledgement and acknowledge all of our allies and all of the people who have come out here today. And you know who you are, all the non-Indigenous mob who are here in this crowd. Thank you so much. Thank you, honestly. And I read a little something. It's a little bit of a letter. It's a little bit of a letter to White Australia, who has decided to celebrate today. I don't know why you're celebrating. There's nothing to celebrate. Yeah. So, to dear White Australia, hope you're listening.
We stand with you.
Dear White Australia, you have no right to decide what should and shouldn't offend me, when even the smallest act of resistance against your oppressive agenda can offend you. Where a Muslim woman's attire can offend you, where the love of two men and two women can affect you, or when a great tennis player who chooses not to celebrate with you can offend you. You have no right to tell me to get over it. It's in the past. When you celebrate and when you mourn all those soldiers who fell at Gallipoli. How is that any different from me and my mob standing here in this crowd mourning? Reminiscing of the people that we have lost. Waterloo Creek, north of New South Wales, marks a place of mourning, of shame and pain. 40 people died after mounted policemen ordered by the colonial government attacked a camp of Kamilaroi people. A surprise attack. And when they went home, back to Sydney, they were hailed as heroes. Why are they heroes? For killing our people? You should not be a warden. You should not be celebrated for killing a person. You should get your justice. You should be in jail. Your so-called celebration, your so-called day of celebration was built on the colonization of my people. You celebrated the massacre, celebrated the dispossession of land and freedom of my ancestors. You reacted, reenacted the settlement and brought in Aboriginal people. Shame. And even though you do not celebrate what happened then, now it is what your so-called Australia Day was built on. It was built on this. Australia Day. And it's not this, Australia. Your national day was built on colonization of my ancestors. This day was the beginning of racism, the beginning of injustices, murders, more massacres, the beginning of torture and abuse of Aboriginal children, the beginning of the stolen generation. White Australia, you enjoy brushing our issues under the rug. Not bothering for debates, but arguments and avoidance. Your Prime Minister is a coward who wants to avoid it and not talk about it, not have debates, not have an honest discussion. He says that he's disappointed in anyone who chooses not to celebrate today. Well, you know what? I am disappointed in every single person that chooses to celebrate Australia Day. Because you're choosing to celebrate the death of my people, my family, my friends and my family. Always was and always will be. Aboriginal land, thank you.
Now I
job about someone that I love really dearly. My grandma, Auntie Janice Brown. She's a really respected elder. She's a social worker and she's a teacher. And yesterday when I called her and I asked her what she thought about Australia Day, I wanted to know what she thought. And it made me so sad, it broke my heart. Because I said, Nan, what do you think about Australia Day? What does it mean to you? And she says, Aretha. She says, it makes me feel ugly. And here she was, who I think is the most beautiful woman in the entire world, feeling bad about a day like this. And she said, you know, I wish we had a day where we could acknowledge Aboriginal beauty and Aboriginal people and what we are and hold us to such a high degree of power, because that's what we represent. Yeah. And I said, you know what? I said, you know what? I'm not going to wait around for us to do that. I'm going to do it right now here today, but I need your help, okay? Yeah. Okay. Now, after I finish each line, I want you to say, I see you. Let me hear it.
I see you.
Okay. I want to say to all the grandmas and to all the grandpas out there.
I see you.
I want to say a big shout out to all the single mothers out there and all the mothers that put food on the table for us every single night.
I see you.
Yeah. I want to say thank you and I acknowledge all the young Aboriginal mob just trying at school.
I see you.
Yeah. I want to say I acknowledge all the mob up in Dundale and in the detention centres.
I see you.
We see you. I want to say thank you to all the young black brothers out here who show us their pride every single time keeping our culture alive.
I see you.
Thank you. I want to say thank you to all the Aboriginal queer fellas out here who have two burdens, have to face two types of oppression.
I see you.
Thank you. Thank you. Out here, we're gonna take everything that our elders and the people that came before us has taught us, and we're gonna keep this tradition on. Yes. We're gonna keep our culture proud. Yes. We're gonna make you more proud of us. We've been working so hard at school, and we'll be trying to do everything we can just to make you more proud. So thank you for coming out here today. Bob of all those young people, thank you.
That was Aretha Brown speaking at the massive January 26th Invasion Day rally in Melbourne, Australia. Before her, you heard Ruby reading her letter to white people, and at the start of the show, you heard an excerpt from the speech by elder activist Jenny Munro, founder of the Aboriginal Tent Embassy. To close the show, we return to Giselle Hanna's interview with march organizers Darnene Onus-Williams and Mariki Kalinya. For non-Australian listeners, forced closures in WA refers to the Western Australia government's decision to remove 150 remote Aboriginal communities from their traditional lands to make way for mining exploration. This process gave rise to international protests, and a bill has been introduced into the Australian Parliament on January 20, 2018, to try to stop it.
Darnene, I saw you put out a tweet and it said, FYI, today's march was organised by young black women. What was the importance of that emphasis for you?
I just think black women are amazing and black women don't get enough recognition. And, you know, we're not only black, but we are also women as well. And we have faced so many different struggles in our lives, and whether that's, you know, getting our children taken away or you know, sexual assaults and, you know, just misogyny and sexism that comes with it as well. And one of the biggest things for me was that, you know, my grandmother, she took our cold to the High Court, and she was the first Aboriginal person to have standing for having connection to country. And that got overshadowed by the Mabo case. So, you know, it just shows that Aboriginal women don't get written in the history books. You know, I'm still waiting for an onus day, to be honest.
Well, you can't get 50,000 people on the street just by putting out a call. You know, and I think one of the things that has also been overshadowed or obscured in the celebration of the Invasion Day rally yesterday and how successful it was is the fact that you guys, WAR, the Warriors of the Aboriginal Resistance, have actually been organising for the last 3 years. And yesterday's rally was built on the previous rallies you've organised around the closure of Aboriginal communities in Western Australia, the Northern Territory and South Australia, and also the rallies that you've organised in protest against the treatment of Aboriginal youth in youth detention facilities. So yesterday was the culmination of all of those previous organising efforts. And I guess we can look at yesterday as the precursor to what comes next. So I guess my last question for you is, what does come next? Where to from here?
Well, our young people want to know who they are, and they're self-identifying by who their tribes are. They say hello and they talk in their own language. And so there's more of a push nowadays to reclaim our identity that's been violently stripped of us through systematic system abuses. And not only have we reclaimed our identity, we're reclaiming it. You know, it's a process, you know, some more than others. But there's a sense of pride in our community now. But the next step is, how do we, you know, address gentrification in our communities? Our communities are getting destroyed, but we can't community organise because of gentrification. Well, that's a lie. I think you can. I think that anything's possible for communities. But we're isolated in our own cities. Been moved away, but we also live in extreme poverty, housing prices where our families are. You know, I wouldn't be able to afford a house in the same suburb as my grandmother, and that's just another form of dispossession from my bloodline. So gentrification is really dangerous. Another part of that is, I think, the fight continues through how child protection moves within our communities, and we're so much more vulnerable to child protection because of the dispossession of gentrification. And we're so much more vulnerable to police brutality because of the disconnection that we have. We're living in communities we're not connected to. And so, you know, we have to rebuild our communities, and we have to fight like hell against gentrification of what's left. You know, we're looking at big mega cities of 20 million people and just wastelands outside of that. How are we going to exist within that and keep our community together? You know, I've got community values. My grandmother was one of the primary figures of the community that lived in this community here. It was about that community, and that's what drives a lot of my politics and who I am. It's about keeping together and keeping safe, because the more we are connected together, the less vulnerable we are to state violence, the healthier we are. So I think that, for me, is the long-term goals.
Thank you to Giselle Hanna and to the two radio programs on which our audio today was first presented, Accent of Women and Women on the Line. Both programs air on 3CR Community Radio in Melbourne and are distributed across Australia on the Community Radio Network. To hear this program again, email wings@wings.org or visit our new website, wingsradio.org. Thank you to all our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose works can be found on the website gifteconomy.com. That's gift-economy.com. The Wing Sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.